Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. A reminder that I'll be joined every single Monday live on TalkSport 2 by Gareth A. Davis to dissect all the latest from the world of boxing and MMA. 2021 is set to be a huge year for boxing, both in the UK and abroad, and we'll have you covered every single step of the way. If you can't join us live, make sure you subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel to ensure you don't miss an episode. And while you're there, you can also check out some of the other great boxing programming, the likes of Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and The Boy from Brownsville, The Mike Tyson Story.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon, this is Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2, where myself, Adi Oladipo, and Gareth A. Davis will be discussing all the latest from the world of combat sports. Today, we're going to discuss the biggest news at the moment, including Joe Joyce's stoppage of Carlos Takam at the weekend. We'll also hear from Eddie Hearn with Anthony Joshua against Alexander Usyk, now signed for September the 25th. This is Fight Night Extra here on TalkSport 2.
That's much better from Joe.
Joyce trying to put his punches together now, trying to pick his punches, and Takam's taking a lot.
Is he about to go?
Is he ready to go? Referee Steve Gray watching on very, very closely, and it's all over! It's all over! Joe Joyce gets the win he wants in the sixth round.
What fitness, what heart from Klitschko!
He's excited because he's a student of the game and he wants to prove to people that he can beat the likes of Alexander Usyk. He can outskill him. That's difficult. I don't want to see him actually overcomplicate this fight. I want to see him go in and destroy the guy.
Look at this from Conor Benn early in the first round. And Vargas in all sorts of trouble. And it's been strong. Sensational. Conor Benn wins in double quick time.
Fast forward 12 months, obviously now done a big deal with the sports streaming giant DAZN. It'll be live this Saturday, starting with Conor Benn, 3 weeks on the spin, this time with fans. You know, we'll have about 300 people in the garden.
Yeah, busy weekend of boxing, busy weekend to come as well. Only one place to start though, and it was from the action at the weekend at the SSE Arena in Wembley. Headlined by Joe Joyce versus Carlos Takam. Gareth, very keen to get your thoughts on a couple of things here. Firstly, the stoppage. Some people say premature. I say it was right. I think Steve Gray was in there. He's seen all the punches that Takam's shipping. What was your thoughts on the stoppage, Gareth?
Well, I didn't have an issue with it, if I'm honest, Eddie. You know, Carlos Takam had been quite successful earlier in the fight. Joe Joyce is not difficult to hit. He's not an elusive fighter. But I think he was getting slowly wound up. Or wound down rather by Joyce. And I thought that barrage of punches was pretty much the end of him. I don't think he was going to last much longer myself. Yeah, you could say it was a tad premature, but I think the referee Steve Gray was taking into account the health of the fighter and the fact that, you know, Takam had given his all and what Joe Joyce does, which is he juggernauts through people. And he was just about to start doing it. Saved the guy probably save the guy a couple more fights.
Agreed. I mean, Andy Clark was in commentary for TalkSport, and I think he summed it up really well when he said, Carlos Tacca might be winning the fight here, but he's going to lose the war. He was landing some massive shots. I mean, some huge shots. And it must be so... It must be strange as a fighter when you land which are your power shots and the guy in front of you is just not moving, not stopping. I mean, Joe Joyce, he honestly, I don't know what he has for a chin, but it's more than granite. It's more than metal. It's just the power in his chin. Like, he can't keep taking those shots, but it almost felt like inevitable that he was going to get to Carlos, didn't it?
Absolutely. It's how he fights. I mean, people saying, I thought it was a very solid performance from him, Eddie, and people were disagreeing with that, but I thought it was solid because he slowly took the guy apart. And that's what Joe Joyce does. He doesn't, he's not an elusive heavyweight like Tyson Fury has been, or he's not a guy that, you know, sits back and uses his jab like Larry Holmes did and then slowly busts someone up. He's there in front of you. He's bigger than most men on earth. He's 250 pounds, 6 foot six. And he thrashes through you. And, you know, he hasn't got the quickest hands. I mean, Tacam had faster hands for a lot of the fight. I didn't have Tacam ahead myself. I had Joe Joyce just ahead. Mm. And I know it's arguable, but, you know, solid performance wins the WBO, you know, eliminator. So, you know, it's he's the mandatory challenger now for that title when and if Usyk, Joshua, Fury, whoever it is, has to defend that belt eventually down the line.
Yeah, when and if. Let's quickly hear from Joe Joyce's manager, Sam Jones. He said that Joyce wants whenever bouts available to him, but would ideally like to fight Dillian White.
That's a fight that should happen. Of course, it's a big, big fight for both guys. Joe's number one in the WBO. I'm not sure what Dillian's plans are, but I think with him being on DAZN and Joe being on BT Sport, it does make it more difficult, which is no good, to be honest. But I'm telling you this straight. Joe's open to fighting anybody, as long as it's the right situation. But Joe's open to fight anybody. He told me from the very beginning, I just want good fights. A Luis Ortiz fight would get Joe excited.
The colourful Sam Jones there, Joe Joyce's manager. I guess, look, it's not going to be AJ next. I think you never know, but I'll be surprised if it is AJ next. Then, I guess, Gareth, you almost have to weigh up the risk-reward. A lot of people were screaming out for Hrgović. Hrgović, fantastic fight. I mean, between those two, it'll be carnage in the ring, but the rewards won't be that good in it. Is it a fight that does 20,000 at the O2? Is it a fight that does good numbers on a BT box office? Maybe not. So you can understand why Sam thought of Dillian White there, because he ticks all boxes.
I do. I think it's a good matchup. But as we know, both men are waiting for WBO challenges and WBC challenges with Joyce and White, respectively. Look, that is a really good fight. And as we were talking about it, as Sam Jones was talking about it, then I was just trying to put the shapes together, thinking, it's a really good fight. Dillian White, I think, has faster hand speed again. But would Joe Joyce break him down eventually? Joe Joyce is the older fighter. It's a really good fight that I would love to see at some point. And like you say, it's the same for Dillian White, how they find opponents for them at the moment while they await the challenge, if they have it, of fighting for the WBC or WBO title, is the difficult thing. And I think they both deserve a shot. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I guess this is the issue, right? That bottleneck at the top now with this Fury and AJ fight not happened, and then Fury Wilder falling off. There is this bottleneck of everyone almost waiting for what happens with maybe even the losers of those fights and everyone then picking off opponents. Let's talk about it. It is signed now. AJ versus Usyk finally done. September 25th at Tottenham Stadium. 65,000 people will be there, maybe even a bit more than that, because of, you know, you can put seats on the grass, etc. Big risky fight, this one, for AJ, isn't it? Very risky.
Yeah, it is, because of Usyk's skills, Addy. You know, he dominated at cruiserweight, 200 pounds, and it's a bit different now. He's in against a guy who's 40 pounds, you know, 40 pounds heavier than that, pretty much, or at least 2 stone heavier, in Anthony Joshua. Usyk hasn't done much at heavyweight, even though he looked brilliant at cruiserweight. He's not done much at heavyweight. A seventh round stoppage over Chaz Witherspoon, a points decision over Derek Chisora, in which I thought he looked like he got bullied early on.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot to go on. It's a serious challenge, yes, because of his skill set, because of his Olympic pedigree, because he's undefeated, because if he gets in the right position to put his left hand across Anthony Joshua's chin, and he's capable of doing that with his footwork, he's dangerous for all those reasons. And he's dangerous if he gets into the very, very late rounds with Anthony Joshua, in my view. But I do think Joshua is too big, too heavy, and got better in many ways in his last couple of fights in terms of finding his defensive shield. And I do think he beats Usyk, but I think there is not, if he's not on his top game, there is every opportunity for Usyk to cause an upset here. And I agree with you. It's a very tough assignment.
Very quickly on that one, and just because of what you mentioned there as well, just because we haven't seen, I agree, the Usyk that we saw at Cruiserweight, he's not been that electric, has he, yet, as a heavyweight. Mm. Do you think Joshua will get the credit maybe that he does deserve if he does beat Usyk? Will people then go back to those points and say, okay, well, you know, at a heavyweight, there was always that question mark with Usyk, and he might not get the credit for a massive win, and because I kind of feel like it's a win that really bumps up his resume, and it's a legacy type fight for him. He needs it. Would he get the credit for it though?
It all depends on how the fight goes.
Yeah.
If he dominates Usyk and stops him in 7 or 8 rounds, and Usyk only lands a few punches, and he's not wobbled at all, and you don't feel any vulnerability in Anthony Joshua in the fight, I think he will get full credit. He will get credit for having improved, having put his game together, for being involved in a great fight and getting rid of a difficult mandatory challenger. If he wobbles and he just comes through it and he's nearly down, or he is down and he gets up and he beats Usyk, we know that, you know, that's what Joshua is. I mean, he's still not the finished product. I don't mean that insultingly. He's still a work in progress. And maybe this is an opportunity to show that, you know, that work in progress is progressing, Addy. But I think it all comes down to the performance. If he wins, and he wins, that's fine. But it's how he wins. That's the key.
Indeed. Let's quickly chat about the Olympics. Team GB sent, some people say, one of the best squads we've ever sent to an Olympics in terms of medal potentials. A couple of defeats already, unfortunately. The likes of Peter McGrell's gone, Chevron Clark has gone in a close one as well. We've still got so many good fighters left. Obviously, the McCormack brothers, the twins, they're going to cause problems and should medal. And then you've got the likes of Caroline Dubois, who's through as well. We haven't seen Fraser Clark yet. I can't wait to see how he looks at super heavyweight. What do you make of the defeats so far, though, Gareth?
Well, it happens, doesn't it? It's Olympic boxing. You know, they've got those 9 minutes to show their wares. And you know, it's a tough road for them because, you know, they're a year late in terms of competing in the Olympics. That's a year more work they've put in. We will get winners and losers. I mean, as you know, I've tipped this team to break all records, you know, and maybe come back with more than 3 golds. But it comes down to, you know, 3 sometimes or 4 bouts you're having in the women's or the men's respectively. And if you can come through them and you produce your best performance on the day, then you get there. I think I remember when Adam Peaty won swimming the other day, he was saying it's not about necessarily being the faster swimmer. It's the one that puts it all together on the day. It's going to be a big one for Fraser Clark competing because, you know, he's one of the most long-standing members of the British team in the boxing. He's the captain of the team, of course. He's the big guy, he's the super heavyweight. And at the last 2 games, we've won silver and gold with Joe Joyce and Anthony Joshua. So a lot of pressure on him. A lot of pressure on all of them, really.
Yeah.
But I'm sad to see Cheevan Clark go out because he's a superb guy. I remember speaking to him a few months back. He's a brilliant guy. He'll be very disappointed.
Yeah, very disappointed indeed. It was a narrow loss as well to the Brazilian. All right, you're listening to Final Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, we're here every single week to discuss all the latest from the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Next up, we'll be chatting about AJ and Usyk in a bit more detail. Crime's the devil.
Think it got a hold on me. The only fight that we had our mind on was Tyson Fury. The game changed where we have to have a plan B. Of course, the one that springs to mind immediately is the WBO mandatory of Alexander Usyk.
Anthony, how are you? I'm coming for you.
He'd struggle. I think the pace and pressure from Anthony Joshua and the combination punches, and he lands more effective shots on the target.
Huge right hand, and Klitschko is somehow trying to survive, but Anthony Joshua tumbles him again. What fitness, what heart from Klitschko, but the fight has been stopped. Lift off for AJ.
You have to do the hard yards under the dark lights to shine under the bright lights.
I think it got a hold on me. Pride is the devil.
You are listening to Final Extra here on TalkSport 2 in partnership with the Zone exclusive broadcaster on Matchroom's Fight Camp. Three weekends of fights for just $1.99. The Zone game changed. All right, let's continue our AJ Usyk discussion. Gareth, obviously now officially signed for September 20th. If it will happen at Tottenham's new wonderful stadium. Can't wait for it to happen there, by the way. Absolutely spectacular stadium. You know what I think of Usyk? I was speaking to Tony Bellew the other day, Gareth, and we were talking about this matchup as well. Obviously, he was in there against Usyk, and he said it wasn't even sort of his physical power or anything. He said mentally, he just wore me out. I was having to think all the time because his foot movement, what he's going to do, was he going to switch from southpaw back to orthodox? Like, he said it was just so difficult mentally, and I guess that's what AJ is going to have to overcome as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tony Bellew's been in there. He did, what was it, 7 rounds with him. And he's right. You're not going to look to go in there and outbox Alexander Usyk. Tony had to take it to him. Tony was winning that fight after 5 or 6, wasn't he, of course? But Usyk has got, in that fight, Usyk showed he's got brilliant feet and his boxing prowess and then his instinct to finish. He showed all of those things in that fight. And, you know, I've heard Tony Bellew or read somewhere Tony Bellew saying that, you know, Usyk's boxing skills would even give Tyson Fury massive issues. Maybe, but I think, again, Fury is a guy with a great jab and does have decent footwork and very good movement from the waist up and is a very, very big man. So that's why I was saying when we kicked off discussing this, if Anthony Joshua is still working away on Usyk at rounds 10, 11, 12, for me, he hasn't done something right in the fight. Because I can't see him outboxing Usyk, but I can see him hurting him and I can see him stopping him, you know, round 8, 9, 10. But if they go into the championship rounds, you're going to wonder why Usyk's still there. Because they can't have just danced around each other for 10 rounds. They're going to have to engage.
I was going to ask that. I mean, Gareth, you've watched AJ up close and personal. You've gone and seen him in training camps. I mean, we've seen two different AJs, right? I think that the first AJ prior to Ruiz, almost just walking people down, right? Just too big, too strong for everyone, and was getting a stoppage, right? Knockout after knockout after knockout. After the Ruiz loss, we've seen a more tentative AJ, someone on the back foot using his jab a lot more, almost like when Lennox Lewis lost and then kind of Emmanuel Stewart rebuilt him. What AJ do we have to see to get the job done against Usyk? Is it old school destructive AJ or the AJ that boxed against Kubrat Pulev to a very methodical game plan?
Yeah, more like the latter, I think. You know, it's you've got to remember that Joshua does have abilities to hit other fighters, and I think he's got to try and go after Usyk in terms of using his jab carefully. He's a much, much bigger person. Use his size. Tire Usyk out, put pressure on him if he can, put, you know, make him know that he's in there with the champion, all those things. Don't let Usyk circle and circle and circle, pin him down, don't follow him, cut him off. Be aware that he's going to try to counter, that he's going to look for uppercuts if he can get on the inside. But what Joshua needs to do is smother him, lean on him, do all those things that he can do, you know, that he can do because he is a much bigger man. I think that's what I'm saying, that I can imagine him slowing Usyk. But as Tony Bellew has said, and as others have said, he carries dangers. There's no doubt about it. You know, if he turns Joshua, gets him in the corner, you know, lands that strong straight left, and he's managed to bamboozle Joshua on his feet, then he'll find openings. But I just think there'll be too much in Joshua in his size and his strength and all those things for Usyk. But as I say, dangerous here. There's no question about it.
Indeed. Joshua's probably toughest challenge in his career so far. Some will point to it being Vladimir Klitschko, although we know Vladimir Klitschko at that age, 41 and a couple of years out. Some might even say it was a Ruiz rematch, just in case of what was at stake in terms of people saying his career, you know, what boxers like Gary, his career could be done if he lost Ruiz a second time round. In terms of the challenge, where do you rank Usyk? Above Klitschko as a challenge, above Ruiz, below them? Where is he as a challenger?
No, you can't rank him above Klitschko as a challenge. Klitschko, you know, had lost once in a 10-year reign. Mm. As heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury, 2 years earlier in Dusseldorf. And, you know, he believed he would beat Joshua. And Joshua was, you know, we're talking 2017, was it 8 fights ago? That's a long time ago. But I think every fight that Anthony Joshua has, every fight since he beat Charles Martin in his, I can't remember rightly now, 16th or 17th fight right now, it's a big fight. It's a big occasion. It means so much. He's a mainstream sports star. What he hasn't done, definitely, is make it in America, which is different to the Tyson Fury journey, a guy who has made it in America. I mean, I'm still out here in fabulous Las Vegas, Addy. I wanted to save it till halfway through the show to remind you. As you hear the calling birds in the morning out here in the gardens of the Tropicana, where the pool is going to be opening shortly, but just at about 5:01 as the show ends today, the pool opens. So,
nice, thank you very much for that, Gareth.
and the bar is open and the. it's 95 degrees, I know you're not struggling for the heat in the UK at the moment. No, but it's interesting because this week last week I did end up in the offices of Bob Arum late in the week, Tyson Fury's promoter, and he was saying to me that, you know, weirdly, Joshua, in his words, he's not promoting him, but in his words, isn't big at all in the USA, is barely known at all. And what he is remembered for is being beaten by a little chubby Mexican. And that's what he's remembered for. He got the rematch. He beat Andy Ruiz in Saudi, but that's how he's remembered over here. So
does he need to crack that market? Considering the numbers, it's a really good question.
Mm. Yeah, it's a really good question because, you know, you could take... He's cracked the Middle East. Mm. Obviously, they want the fight back there with Tyson Fury for astronomical sums. I'm pretty sure that AJ could crack Africa as well.
Yes.
With a massive fight over there, be it against Dillian White or Deontay Wilder or even Tyson Fury. You know, they could have a trilogy fight. It could be Africa, couldn't it? Anywhere. It could be Nigeria. It could be anywhere. They could really create something amazing. Does he still need to conquer America? He's an extraordinarily wealthy man. Mm. He's very successful already. He needs to win one more belt. You know, 2 victories could make him, you know, king of the crop. So, the king of the era. So, you know, does he need to conquer America? I think that's in him, whether he decides to do that. It would be great to have a big Joshua fight in Las Vegas, or, you know, we've had the one in New York. I'd love him to fight in Las Vegas because I think fans would really travel for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it would almost. Maybe not.
Do you think he needs to make it in America, Eddie?
Again, it's only for his own pride rather than financial gains. Normally when fighters crack America, it's to make big money, isn't it? Like, okay, we've got to crack America. I don't know if he needs to. I mean, this guy sells out stadiums. Saudi Arabians are willing to put hundreds and hundreds of millions on the table for him to go over and fight over there. So normally it's like, okay, you got to crack America, you got to do Madison Square Garden. I don't know if that's his want I think when a guy does Tottenham and Wembley and the Principality and you get 90 and 100, I don't know if he needs to, but I do think he's going to need to right that wrong, because you're right. People do remember him getting beaten, and these are the words of Bob Arum, by a fat Mexican. So he needs to go over there and wrong that right, I think.
A little chubby Mexican.
That's what he said, little chubby.
Mexican. Yeah, a little chubby Mexican. Yeah, yeah.
Overweight. Mexican. Let's be PC. Overweight Mexican.
Exactly. Exactly.
Very quickly, and finally, this is on Joe Joyce now. Obviously, look, he's mandatory for the winner of that fight. We know how boxing works. It doesn't mean he's going to get the fight immediately. But having watched Joyce against Takam, if it was, say, AJ against Joe Joyce, how do you think Joyce gets on?
I think he gets hit a lot. I think he gets hit a lot. And I think that fight doesn't go beyond 5 or 6 rounds for me. Because I think Joe is too easy to hit. And I think Joshua would hit him if he didn't go down and he responded himself. You know, he's got a chance. But I think Anthony Joshua knocks Joe Joyce out, even though he's got a great chin. I just think he stops him, because I think he hits him with a lot.
Yeah,
you know?
Agreed. And I think that chin's starting to soften a little bit after being cracked a few times by Dubois and now Carlos Takam. All right, you're listening to Final Extra here on TalkSport 2. Remember, here every single week to discuss all the latest from World of Boxing and MMA. If you've missed any of the show or would like to listen again, then check out our podcast over at TalkSport.com under the Fight Night banner. Next up, we'll be looking ahead to Fight Camp.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Norrie was spun around there in the seventh round, and she's just about getting to her feet, and I think that is enough. She doesn't want any more, and Shannon Courtney, well, she was good tonight, and that will mean the world to her.
During the pandemic, when everything fell apart, you know, we weren't obviously allowed crowds, and I didn't want to do fights in studios. I felt it was quite disrespectful to fighters, and I was just sitting outside the headquarters, and I just thought we'd do it here. You know, we'll do it in the garden. Everyone thought we were mad, but it was probably one of the best things we'd ever done.
Yep, Fight Camp returns to Matchroom HQ for 3 weeks of big, big fights. Now let's take a look ahead to the first weekend of matchups in partnership with DAZN. Conor Benn versus Adrian Granados tops the bill, which includes a world title fight as well for Britain's Lee Wood. He takes on Zhu Kan for the WBA featherweight world title. Let's now hear from Eddie Hearn. He was in TalkSport Studios talking about Fight Camp and the dawn of a new era on for Matchroom with DAZN.
during the pandemic, when everything fell apart, you know, we weren't obviously allowed crowds, and I didn't want to do fights in studios. I felt it was quite disrespectful to fighters, and I was just sitting outside the headquarters, and I just thought we'd do it here. You know, we'll do it in the garden. Everyone thought we were mad, but it was probably one of the best things we'd ever done. You know, it went global. The message it sent out to the industry and to fighters was, look, we're here, we're going to bounce back, we're going to fight back, we're going to provide you with opportunities. And it was just a massive success. So fast forward 12 months, obviously now done a big deal with a sports streaming giant, DAZN. It'll be live this Saturday, starting with Conor Benn, 3 weeks on The Spin, this time with fans. You know, we'll have about 300 people in the garden. So if you're listening and you have a ticket, be nice. You know, toilets are provided. You know, there's plenty of beers and cocktails for you to enjoy. And it's just great to see fans back. I mean, we've been over in the States. We did Canelo Alvarez against Billy Joe Saunders. I had 74,000 there at the Dallas Cowboy Stadiums. And now it's just bringing people back. We had the darts in Blackpool at the weekend with a couple of thousand in per session. And obviously AJ Usyk coming up at Spurs. And It's important for the sport to return, but Fight Camp's going to be really exciting. Three huge cards starting this Saturday.
Well, Eddie, your fighters must be really excited about it as well, because they know they've got lots of fights coming up, and it's a really interesting project you're doing there. And it's a 5 year, so this year it's 5 year plan. So it's going to be really interesting for the next 5 years. Who develops into top boxers and see who wins most bouts.
Yeah, I had an exclusive deal with Sky for, I think, nearly 10 years. And, you know, this is a big move for us moving to DAZN. They're a very aggressive platform. I believe that streaming is the future of sport. We've had a very successful relationship with them globally, particularly in America. You know, the opportunities are there now for the fighters, not just financially, but to box all around the world. You know, we're operating in many countries now around the world. We want to keep expanding boxing. I think you're going to love what you're going to see. I mean, you've got Laura Woods, you know, as our presenter. You've got Maya Jama as our presenter. You've got Tony Bellew. We managed to nab Mike Costello as well. You know, great voice. Andy Lee. We've built our own production team. And that's something that we wanted to mold here, you know, from the inception of the event to the narrative and building the hype and the story to the live production. So this Saturday is quite nerve-wracking, because normally we just turn up and it's done for us. Yeah. But now we're doing the production. Great time for the fighters. More opportunities than ever. And great to see them fighting again in front of fans. You saw a lot of fighters lose, you know, in lockdown because, like, fighters like Josh Warrington, who we've got coming up fighting the rematch with Lara on DAZN at Headingley. And, you know, he lost behind closed doors because he's used to fighting in front of 10,000, taking nothing away from Lara. But I think it's interesting. I mean, even if you look at the Olympics now, it's not quite the same, you know, to see these guys performing without that kind of razzmatazz.
Tell us a little bit about the card for the opening night, because obviously I've been going over it, doing my own research for you, Eddie,
of course.
Some big fights in there, some big names as well.
Yeah, it's a massive card on Saturday, and we wanted to do that. You know, we wanted to make sure that it was stacked from top to bottom. Conor Benn, who's headlining against Mexico's Adrian Granados, who's fought some of the biggest guys in the sport. Conor's just really excited. I mean, I think outside of the heavyweights right now, he's one of the biggest stars in British boxing. You've got the British Commonwealth European Cruiserweight Championship between Tommy McCarthy and Chris Billam-Smith. You've got Nottingham's Lee Wood, which, you know, for his sins, is taking on the monster from China, Kan Zhu, for the world featherweight title. You've got Anthony Fowler fighting on the card. You've got Jack Cullen fighting Avni Yildirim. You've got Campbell Hatton. You've got Sandy Ryan making her professional debut. So that's the plan, really. Just stacked action from start to finish. Mm. Loads of 50-50s, loads of tough fights. I think you're going to enjoy yourself, Laura.
Was it a no-brainer moving to DAZN?
It's always difficult because, you know, we've got a great relationship with Sky. I mean, that stems across many different sports, you know, darts as well. And listen, Sky have been fantastic for us. They were a tremendous broadcast partner. But sometimes you need to see a different kind of vision. Our vision is global for boxing. You know, I don't just want to become a big promoter in the UK. I want to be the biggest promoter in the world. There's no other promotional company right now that's promoting shows globally. You know, we're doing 10 a year in America. We're doing 18 in the UK. We're doing 6 in Spain, 6 in Mexico, 6 in Italy. We're about to move into Australia, Scandinavia, Germany. That's our plan. And we needed a broadcast partner that had the vision.
Yeah.
And you know, Ray, as a ex-athlete, that the talent, they want more money.
Yeah, of course.
All the time. And you know, that's got to come from somewhere.
Eddie Hearn there speaking to TalkSport Breakfast. I think he's speaking to Ray Parler there and Laura Woods about, obviously, Fight Camp coming up this weekend, headlined by Conor Benn versus Adrian Granados. Lee Wood on there. He takes on Zhu Kan as well for the WBA featherweight title. Tommy McCarthy versus Chris Williams-Smith. By the way, that's the fight, by the way. That's going to steal the night. I'm telling you now, that one should be a cracker. Sandy Ryan makes her debut. Young Campbell Hatton as well. Anthony Fowler, a switch of opponent for him, but still Anthony Fowler's on the card. Gareth, not a bad first fight card for Fight Camp.
No, it is. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm particularly interested to see whether Lee Wood can press his promises and take the WBA featherweight title from Kan Shu, the Chinese fighter who's coming. But I think, you know, like you say, McCarthy against Williams-Smith is a brilliant cruiserweight fight. They'll both bring it. McCarthy, 18 wins, 2 losses, and Chris Williams-Smith, 12 wins and 1 loss. Both staples of the camp now. It's a brilliant setting to have boxing. I think it'll be amazing. I thought it was a 400 crowd. As Eddie said, 300 crowd. They'll make a great atmosphere there. It's a beautiful setting overlooking London there up in Maskells Lane in Brentwood. So it's going to be a great night. I mean, there's a little bit of pressure on Conor Benn, but as Eddie was mentioning there, Adrian Granados has been in against, you know, the likes of Sean Porter and Adrian Broner, Robert Easter Jr., Danny Garcia. I mean, the last one of those stopped him, but the other three he went the distance with, so he's very solid. But, you know, I can almost expect Conor to put himself on this guy and have him out of there in 6 or 7 rounds.
That would be a statement, wouldn't it? Because, again, you mentioned the guys that have gone the distance with him, and you know, you're talking about world elite level welterweight Sean Porter, elite level. He was unlucky against Broner. That was a split decision loss. Some people say it could have gone the other way. The only man to dent him was Danny Garcia. If Danny Garcia catches you, he'll ask Amir Khan, he will dent you. So I mean, that's not a shame either. So if Conor Benn does look, I'm already looking forward, and that's probably dangerous to do, but if Conor Benn does win, let's just say he does, Gareth, and it is a 6-round blowout, and he really puts on him, looks good in 6 rounds, what next? Do they have to kind of hold the reins a bit, or do you let him go and say, okay, Avanesian next? What do you do?
No, I mean, like you say, Avanesian's a great fight for him, but he's very experienced. It's a difficult one because Conor Benn, and I agree with Eddie, I think Conor Benn outside, and we may have said this on the show even before Eddie said it in that interview, that outside the heavyweights, Conor Benn is potentially one of the biggest, you know, rising stars of certainly British boxing. And you know, he could go global. He just needs a little more success, a bit of finessing. Look, he's 18-0. He's come through quickly. He's only been a pro for, 4 years?
Yeah.
And he's got no massive amateur pedigree. I just did a big interview with him. It's worth watching. It's on DAZN. It's the off the cuff interview where we did go deep into things, and you know, he's got this feeling about himself that he's already achieved what he set out to achieve. He's already achieved that, but it's now what can he do beyond that? Can he become a world champion? Can he hold down several defenses? Can he have unification fights? He doesn't know yet whether he's really capable of it, but he's really ambitious for it. And I think he's got that vicious vim and vigor that Dad had as well, Nigel Benn had. So that he, when he goes in there, he does want to destroy. If he sees an opening, he wants to go for it. Where he's going to come undone at the moment is in his inexperience. Same as we saw with Daniel Dubois against Joe Joyce. And that's the problem. When he comes up against someone that's going to be obstinate, that's not going to go away, that he's not going to be able to stop easily. And he's pushed into deeper waters, Addy, and he's got to find different things in himself. Maybe the ability to box for a round, maybe the ability to take a round off, a round to recover, that we haven't really seen in him yet. It's just all raw, forward, come forward, aggressive energy. And I do hope we see him finesse his game a little bit more. I do hope we learn a bit more against Granados at the weekend, where maybe he is stretched for a couple of rounds, because we'll get something out of it, and he will really, really begin to learn what he needs to be at world level.
Agreed, and you couldn't have said it any better than that. I actually want to see him go for a bit of adversity in this obviously, yeah. But you know, I don't want it to be a 1 minute blowout like he did against Vargas, because we don't learn much. We learn he's got the punch power that we know he's got, but in terms of learning, if he's learned anything in the gym with Tony Sims, you'll never know. Very quickly, the final one on that fight camp I want to touch on is young Campbell Hatton. A lot of pressure, and I kind of link it to obviously Conor Benn, because he's coming up on, you know, the father's name, and it's that big pressure that comes with that. It will open doors for you, but also puts a lot of pressure on you. I want to see him just kind of take it easy in this fight. Like, I always feel like every time I watch him, he's rushing. It's 100 miles per hour. Then after a couple of rounds, he starts to gas. I just want him to kind of slow down a little bit and almost enjoy it, I dare say, Gareth.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, he's not going to be weight drained, because I think he's fighting at lightweight in this.
Yeah.
Fight against Jakub Laskowski. That's who the opponent is at the moment. Thank you. Who's four wins, four losses, one draw. Look, I think Campbell will come out at a million miles an hour. He will still have nerves, but maybe for once he's on a card, and this might not happen that often, where another son of a boxer is under more pressure than he is in Conor Benn. But he's had two fights, so he's going to be raw. He has been in the game a lot longer, having said that, than people like Conor Benn. But they'll feed off each other a little bit this week, because I know Conor Benn has spoken openly about watching Campbell Hatton's progress, and you know, says, I know exactly what he's going through. I know when I had my first couple of fights, people were saying, oh, Eddie only signed him because of the name Benn. Well, they might, you know, be saying that about Campbell Hatton right now. He's got a long way to go. The second performance was slightly more controlled than the first on the Rock of Gibraltar, when Dillian White fought Alexander Povetkin. And I thought Campbell was under a lot of pressure that week with the Sky cameras there and it being a pay-per-view event. His second fight in Manchester, and I was live at that, was a little bit better, I thought. But like you say, he's got to kind of just sit back a little bit and not smother his work too much, Addy.
Indeed. All right, let's see how he gets on. That was a look ahead to all the upcoming action with the return of Fight Camp. Remember, you can watch it this weekend exclusively on DAZN. Game changed.
Good stuff from Caroline Dubois with that lead hand, and now she's bringing the backhand into play.
The winner on points by unanimous decision, in red, Caroline.
So, Caroline Dubois with a unanimous points decision victory on her Caroline Olympic Dubois. Debut.
Oh, beautiful. Lovely counter. You give him any space at all, and you fall short with an attack. He adjusts his feet and brings you onto punches like that. He's probably going to hold the centre of the ring a little bit better. He keeps going back to the ropes, but look, well schooled again, back to the centre of the ring. When he's got time and space, McCormack, then you are in trouble.
The winner on points by unanimous decision, in red, Pat McCormack.
You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2 in partnership with DAZN, exclusive broadcaster of Matchroom's Fight Camp, DAZN Game Change. All right, for the final section, let's round up by talking about Team GB at the Tokyo Games. We're going to do that, and we're also going to touch, if we have time as well, on a Bellator. Announced that Michael Vedon-Page will take on Douglas Lima 2 in October in London as well. I know Gareth's going to be super excited for that. He will be there for that as well. Gareth, before we talk that, let's quickly talk about Team GB. Chevron Clark, we mentioned at the top, disappointing defeat as well. Good guy, Chevron. I've spoken to him a couple of times. Great guy. He's going to be so disappointed with that defeat.
He is. Our heavyweight has gone out, unfortunately. We've still got our super heavyweight Fraser Clark in there ready to go on Thursday. But tough loss for Chevron Clark. As you say, a bubbly character. Everybody in the team loves him. He's a million laughs an hour. Would have been really positive going into this. So he'll be quite down about that. But he'll still be there cheering on the guys. We heard Pat McCormack winning there against Radzionau in the round of 16. I think we heard Richie Woodall's voice at welterweight. His brother's already gone through, Luke McCormack, gone through yesterday at lightweight. So great news for the McCormack twins.
Yep, indeed.
It's funny, isn't it, when twins are in weight divisions in like nearly a stone apart.
It's crazy.
It is weird, isn't it? Because physically they look very, very similar. Although one of them looks more like a skeleton than the other, I hasten to add.
Yeah, one of them always looks like he's trying to make weight, basically. win for Caroline Dubois as well. I'm actually watching it right now in front of me. I've got the screen on and seeing her performance back. Obviously, look, fantastic youngster, now stepping up to seniors. Look, if she can get a medal here, fingers crossed it's the big one, gold, what an achievement that will be.
Yeah, I mean, she's, you know, she's a couple of fights away from it, isn't she? I mean, it's she seems nerveless to me. And I really like the way she moves. I mean, I don't want to stretch the point, but she reminds me of in the way she moves her body and moves around, of a young Mayweather, believe it or not. I think she's got massively fast defensive and offensive capabilities.
Yeah.
And I'm just impressed whenever I see her, whenever I'm around her. I tell you, there'll be a big smile on the big old fella of their father, Stan, and Daniel Dubois after her victory, because it means so much to the family. And, you know, and there's a 16-year-old Prince who's coming through, who I met the other day. Well, I've met him before, but I met him again the other day, and he's kind of 6'2 now, 6'1. He's a really tall kid. But I don't, who knows what's going to happen with him. But no, I've got an instinct about Caroline Dubois that she may well end up in the final and come home with gold, Eddie. Yeah. She's got that kind of ability.
Yeah, you're right. And looking at her hair as well, she's got a style suited to the pros as well. So I can't actually wait to see. And look, she's so many years, she'll probably do another Olympic cycle. But if she doesn't, and it's the girl that could jump in the pros and do some good stuff as well. Fraser Clark fights Thursday, super heavyweight division. It's been one that we've been successful on for quite a while, right? Going back to Audley in 2000. And then, as you write, AJ 2012 and Joe Joyce should have been, could have been gold in 2016. Yeah. Bit of pressure on Fraser. He's been waiting for this one. He, you know, he's been behind the likes of AJ and Joe for so long. Gets his chance on Thursday to impress and show us what he's got.
He does. He told me before he left for Tokyo that he will never feel as much pressure as he did in the Paris qualifying tournament at the end of June. He said, he was so nervous. It was so difficult. It will never be like that again. He's now at the Olympics. He really believes in himself, I think, is the key thing. And he knows he's got a decade of experience in the English Institute of Sport as an understudy. Remember, he was in Rio as a sparring partner, as an understudy to Joe Joyce. He is part, you've got to remember this, he is part of a setup in Team GB, which is the envy of the world, Eddie. You know, they've got video analysis of virtually every opponent. They've got a big screen in the middle of the hall that they train in, where they can look at future opponents. They can look at moves. It's like an analysis station.
That's it for this week. Thank you once again for downloading the podcast. We'll be live again next Monday on TalkSport 2. And if you miss us, make sure to subscribe to Fight Night Podcast to catch up with all our other episodes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.